finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
If you ever work with Sam, realize he's very judgmental. Even if it's a lot of non-verbal judgment, but it's there. She's great with the socials. She gets those videos up. I think Abigail helps her as well. And she's a very nice person, unless we're doing this.
Or you stutter.
Which apparently I'm not allowed to do.
You literally have a radio show.
So?
That's literally a verbal job.
Understood, but I speak, at least I've done it this week for last couple days, for 5 hours. Sometimes you're going to have a misstep, Sam. It's okay. Just like sometimes you don't bring us back correctly or you don't go to break on time. You have a job where you run the board and you mess up sometimes. You see? You see how?
But you see how that's not my actual job?
It's your job today. It's your job today. And if you mess up, should you be killed for it? Should you be questioned for it consistently like you do to me?
No,
right? You don't like it, right? Exactly. Now let's see if you can handle
this.
I'm just
a girl.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Well, I don't, you and Abigail do that. I'm like, whatever. Cut it out. Let's see if you can do this. Julian wants to talk about Alex Cross. Welcome to the show, Julian.
What it is, Job Turkeys. First time listener, first time caller.
That's a lie.
So, I said two things. My Niners are on life support. I feel like between injuries and then Mooney lost his daughter, Super Bowl hangover, I just feel like this year we might not even make it to the playoffs. I have hope because, you know, I'm a fan and I'm always going to believe they can do it. We've had a few runs in the second half. But, dude, it's looking bleak. And I'm to the point to where I would rather us lose so we can get a quality draft pick, then to hover around the 500 and get a 16-17 where, I mean, those prospects, I'm not saying that they're not good, but, you know, this draft class, there's no, like, I don't think it's deep, but.
Let me ask you, before you move on. Hold on, before you move on, you mentioned a draft pick.
I'm listening.
What is your biggest hole in? And what position do you think would help?
Interior line.
Okay, because right now, at 17th, according to one site, you would be projected to take James Pierce, a defensive end from Tennessee.
Say that again?
Right now, one projection has you taking James Pierce, the defensive end from Tennessee. He's a little undersized. He's kind of undersized for college. He's angular, 6'5", 243. But they have you taking an edge rusher in the middle of the draft. Do you?
Well, yes, we do need an edge rusher because I think the Floyd, I didn't think it was going to be a huge advantage, but I thought he'd be able to do better. But once again, man, Hargrave, the injuries they just took away. Edge rusher, I wouldn't be mad at it because Bosa needs help. I just feel like that interior line, Aaron Banks, he's going to be a double-digit As far as average per year, we can't do that. Booney, thankfully, he looks like he's a baller. And our center, I mean, dude, he gets made look bad at least four times a game. Our right tackle, he's meh. Trent says he wants to play for a few more years, but I think it's because he's just got that new money. We need a plan for his departure. I just feel like we need that offense. Because if you look at it, our run game is not the same. We're used to pushing people at the point of attack. We have not done that all year.
Agreed. There's some big attrition there.
Cross.
Go ahead. Go with the TV
let's,
show.
Let's get off this sad subject.
Okay.
So, Alex Cross, I was very pessimistic about it because of what Tyler Perry did.
I remember. Yeah.
And thus far, it's not too bad. And I'm like you. I'm only like me and my fiance, we're only on like episode 3 or 4, maybe 4. But can we just admit that as soon as we saw the guy with blonde hair, we knew he was the guy?
Yeah, there was like, no mystery. It was always going to be him.
Yeah.
I agree.
Right. Well, because two reasons. He just looked like a creeper, and two, the caliber of actor that he is, you know, like it had to be, he had to play some kind of integral part because of the actor that it is. But I like when, I like the part where the girl's screaming in the dungeon, and he starts screaming with her like, help! Nobody's coming!
Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that's a crazy villain thing, which hits all the time when they yell and then they get that yell gets smashed and they tell them no one's going to hear you. Alex Cross is on Prime. If you don't know where you can watch it, I'm about 4 or 5 episodes in. I like the story probably more than the acting right now. I'm not sure.
Right,
the acting
right.
is great, but the story is pretty good. I will definitely finish it. I wonder if it gets a season 2. And like you said, the villain. That guy, I think it's because I watched too much TV. I knew that guy was going to be a big part of the show because he's an actor who has had major roles in other things, and it didn't surprise me that he was the murderer. The dyed blonde hair, all that stuff. And it's kind of a conspiracy. There's this cult thing going on. I would say watch it. You know, for people, thanks, Julian, for the call. I'm not saying good luck to your 49ers because why would I root for them? I'm not a fan. But, yeah, they got problems, and they got the Bills on Sunday. Maybe Brock Purdy plays. The Niners could be 2 games under .500 by the time we get back on Monday. But if you're looking for something to watch, if you like a murder mystery that the mystery kind of ends early as far as who did it, Alex Cross is pretty good. He mentioned the Tyler Perry version. There was a movie, and Morgan Freeman played the role before Tyler Perry. That's who I remember Alex Cross from. Books by James Patterson. Now they're turning it into a series. Prime is spending a lot of money to try to get good product out there, and it's hit or miss. Like Rings of Power is our most expensive show, the Lord of the Rings show, and that one's pretty good. I like that one, and they've done some others that have been a miss, but I would say if you're just looking for something before or in between football, you can try Alex Cross, see what you think. Lioness is on there. I'm watching that too, with Zoe Saldana. I haven't seen the latest episode, but episode 5 I think was nuts. That show is hitting its stride. Landman by another Taylor Sheridan show on Prime. Billy Bob's good, but that show's a bit of a mess. But if you like mess, that might be good for you. So no Michael Carroll, but we will talk TV anytime you want. Okay, we'll get away from that. If you want to get in and call like Julian just did, 713-780-3776. I mentioned something about the Vikings, and they have strengthened their quarterback position by signing Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones will be their backup. Maybe he saw what the Vikings have done with a former New York quarterback and decided that was a place for me. Kevin O'Connell does a good job with quarterbacks, so Daniel Jones will be their backup. Sean and I talked about where Daniel Jones ranks as far as backup quarterbacks. Would he be better than Davis Mills if the Texans needed a backup? Probably. He was in a bad situation in New York at the top of his game, he can be a bus rider on a playoff team and then go help win a playoff game in Minnesota. Now he goes back there as their backup quarterback. Nick Mullins, goodbye. You're no longer the backup there. Nick Mullins actually played in the last game because Sam Darnold was banged up a little bit and converted like a 3rd and 12. Not enough to keep his job, though. I doubt that he'll be active this Sunday, but Daniel Jones wanted a place where he could learn and be on a team that had a chance to win. And with the way the NFL is, who's to say Daniel Jones isn't playing meaningful snaps for the Vikings at some point if Sam Darnold takes a knock? The way it's set up right now, if they don't catch the Lions for the division, if Week 17 is one where they're locked into their playoff spot, Daniel Jones may start a game for the Vikings just so they don't have to play Sam Darnold in the game. So it's not a bad spot to land where you have a pretty good team with weapons, and there's no pressure. You can go there, be the backup, and not expect it to play meaningful snaps. But if you do, you got a lot of support and a good offensive mind at head coach. So Daniel Jones makes his decision. He obviously surpassed Ryan Tannehill as guys who are waiting for spots. Tannehill's still out there waiting for an advantageous spot, which is him just hoping for a quarterback injury for a playoff contender. I don't know if anyone would welcome Ryan Tannehill. They may just want to stick with their backup. But that's out there. But Daniel Jones took the pole position for that, and now he's a Viking. So shout out to Daniel Jones for finding a good spot and getting away from the New York Giants. Okay. When we come back, we will talk more Alex Bregman, because ESPN has him on their front page and they have a landing spot for him, which will be familiar for him, at least because of the manager. And Astro fans know, because this team played a big part in ending the Astro season. So we'll get to that when we come back. What the salary projection is and what the prediction is for where Alex Bregman will be when he finally makes a decision. We got a couple more segments to go here. Am I ready to go, Sam? Oh, they're doing stuff in there, so I can't go to break right now. So we will wait on that. While we wait, I did want to get to this. I mentioned the Dodgers signed. I think I mentioned the Dodgers got Blake Snell. That deal is one for 5 years, $182 million. The Dodgers aren't scared of spending. That's a team who banked on the Ohtani return being far more valuable than what they had to spend to get him, and it worked out. The 50-50, the MVP, and the World Series title. Sometimes you got to spend money to make money, and the Dodgers did that, and they got everything they wanted. And the man hasn't even pitched yet. What is it going to be like when he's back out there pitching for the Dodgers? I'm not going to call Jim Crane poor. I wish, in some ways, the Astros operated like the Dodgers, never having to worry about signing good players or keeping good players. If you make a mistake, whatever, you'll just spend more money to make up for it. We are not in that position. And I fear that last year was the end. Can Jim Crane extend that window? Is he willing to? I got my doubts. I do have my doubts. Okay, before we get to break, I did want to mention this. We talked a lot of college football. We talked a lot of A&M of Texas, and that is brought to you this week by Rebecca Creek Distillery. Rebecca Creek Distillery, you can...
ESPN.
Okay. We will go to break after I finish this. With the rivalry renewed, and we know it's coming up this Saturday, November 30th, as A&M faces off against Texas, all our talk with A&M Texas and the interviews you heard, like Selvin Young and Steve McKinney, those were brought to you by Rebecca Creek Distillery. You can get and enjoy Rebecca Creek Whiskey, Enchanted Rock Vodka, and Texas Ranger Whiskey, all to celebrate the rivalry's return. Lone Star Showdown is back at Kyle Field, Texas versus the Aggies. Gig'em and Hook'em, all brought to you by Rebecca Creek Distillery. And I still don't think we can go to break. They want me to wait. They still want me to wait. So I will wait on whatever's... Oh, we're good. We're good. I'll talk to you about the potential landing place for Alex Bregman when we come back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So right now, a picture of Alex Bregman is on the front page of ESPN. It's an insider article by David Schoenfeld, and it predicts where he's going to land and what it's going to cost. They have him joining the Detroit Tigers at 6 years, $187 million. There's a lot of talk in the blurb about his connection with A.J. Hinch, and there's a gap at third base, and the Tigers would fit Bregman, and Bregman would fit the Tigers. And it also has to do with the fact that the Astros should focus more on Kyle Tucker because he's younger, and in parentheses, they said better. I think it'd be easier to sign Alex Bregman than it would be to sign Kyle Tucker. That's another prediction, and another projection higher than what the alleged offer that the Astros have for Bregman. I think the Nightingale one was at $26 million per year. This one exceeds that. And are the Astros willing to go that high? That's over $30 million a year. 31.166, whatever. So that's a number the Astros don't appear willing to meet for that term. 6 years, probably a bigger deal than the money. And that leads to the fallout, which has a prediction of the Astros signing Anthony Santander, the outfielder from the Baltimore Orioles. He had 44 home runs last year, was an all-star. He's 30 years old himself, but you can see the difference, and maybe they're playing into what the Astros like to do. They don't have it as a six-year deal. They do have it as a three. They have it as a three-year deal at $69 million a year. So a higher annual salary than Bregman, but at half the years. That seems like a move the Astros would make. Not necessarily for the player, but the deal itself feels like, hey, we get you to your 33, 34, and then we say bye-bye. If I was making a prediction as far as not Santander, but the type of deals they're going to be doling out this offseason, that lines up. Short term, we'll use the annual average salary to entice you, and then it plays into Kyle Tucker's going likely at the end of the season if they're not trading him. So you have your right fielder. Shorter term deal, a lot of money, but you're not investing until some guy is 37 years old. Or maybe in Kyle Tucker's case, maybe he's asking for 8 or 9 years. Who knows, as an outfielder. So that's there. I did want to get to this. I love college football, but I don't know if I love it as much as Ryan Day. Ryan Day, the head coach at Ohio State, this was a year where they went all in because they were tired of losing to Michigan, and they watched Michigan win a national title. So they go get Caleb Downs from Alabama. They go get Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss. They bring in Will Howard as they say goodbye to Kyle McCord. And they've done it to win, but they've also done it because Ryan Day takes losing really, really seriously. Here's Ryan Day on losing to Michigan.
We felt what it's like to not win this game, and it's bad. It's one of the worst things that's happened to me in my life, you know, quite honestly. Other than losing my father and a few other things, like it's quite honestly for my family the worst thing that's happened. So we can never have that happen.
I'm not laughing at his comment. I'm laughing at Sam's reaction when he just compared losing to Michigan to losing his dad. That's how serious it is, Sam. The man compared the death of his father to losing a football game.
That was a wild comparison.
Yeah, you thought, you know, he's the gravelly voice. It's tough losing to the rival. And then he dropped, yeah, losing my dad compares. What?
Mm-mm.
All right, man. I understand. A lot of pressure to win. Losing to Michigan is tough. You don't like watching them celebrate for the last 3 years, but to losing your dad?
Therapy is an option.
I don't know how many college football coaches are in therapy. I don't think it's part of the bag. I think it might be even looked at as a sign of weakness. If you're, we don't hear a lot of college coaches going to therapy. They would say that I don't have time to go to therapy. I got to coach. I got to manage a roster. I can't spend time in a therapist's office. I would say, if we're thinking about it, out of like what, the 130 coaches or so in Division I football in the FCS, could I get to five that are actively participating in therapy despite listening to Ryan Day, who probably needs it? I don't think I'd get to five. At least I wouldn't get to five who admit it, at least. Yeah, man. Saturday's a big game for Ryan Day for multiple reasons. You win that game, you're playing the Big Ten title game, and you've already locked in a spot, whether you win or lose, to play in the CFP. But even bigger, this could be like a family member dying if he loses again for the fourth year in a row. Sam, it's serious business.
It's not that deep.
It's very deep.
It will never be that deep.
Ask Ryan Day, Sam.
Have you ever compared a game?
No.
No.
The answer is no.
I
don't coach, so it doesn't hit the same. But no, I've never compared my team losing anything to the death of a family member. It won't be something I ever do.
Never mind.
Go on.
No, because I'm not going to get canceled for this. It was just, it was an audio I was thinking of that Joe and Paul showed me the other day, but I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, save yourself. So when you're watching that game on Saturday, and maybe you're rooting for Michigan to win because you want chaos, remember what it's going to do to Ryan Day. Think about that when you're rooting for Michigan. I always root for Michigan. I can't stand Ohio State. I've never rooted for them in that game, even since I was a kid. Is Ryan Day's mental health going to change my mind? Probably not. I would just say, go get some help, buddy. Go get some help. That's a crazy thing to say.
A very crazy comparison.
Losing his, not even just a family member, losing his dad.
His dad.
One of the worst things that happened in my life is
not
losing
even a
Michigan.
Dog.
You know, he said it, but Ohio State people are like, yeah, that's what we want to hear. Dedication.
Oh, gosh.
You just understand. And you're right. You're right, too, because you're a healthy person. But the message boards on Ohio State are like, you damn right it's that big of a deal.
Oh, no.
I bet you they will. I haven't gone on them, but I bet you they wouldn't be reacting like we're reacting. They'd be like, yeah, it hurts when we lose to that team. I'm sure some of them are saying the same thing. In their Columbus homes or their Cincinnati homes, wherever they're watching the game from, I bet you they're all saying losing to Michigan is like death. And they've had to deal with death for the last 3 years. They want that to end this year. It should. Michigan's not very good. They barely are bowl eligible. That game's in the shoe at home. Don't lose that game. He wouldn't get fired for it. But the heat that's already hot would turn up immensely.
You think he's gaslighting? He's going to guess? Like he's trying to gaslight the other fans and the other team?
I don't think so. I think that's a very honest thing that he should have kept to himself.
I think so, too.
I think that's one of those things you keep internally because people think you're nuts. And maybe don't have a healthy context about what's important in life. A healthy perspective, maybe. But hey, if you win the game, you feel great. It's a lot of losing is misery type stuff. Where
some might even say you feel alive.
I think he will feel relieved if he wins this game. I don't think he'll be joyous because he's expected to win. I think it'll be relief. He can't lose this game. Mainly because I don't want that man to be in shambles on the field afterwards. Can we get Ryan Day into the Buckeyes locker room with some joy? I'm still not rooting for him, but I know the expected outcome. So if that's coming anyway, at least one man in Columbus won't be thinking about his dead dad, I guess. I don't know, man. It's crazy. So when you're watching the big game on Saturday morning, root for Ryan Day and his mental health. He needs it if you don't have any rooting interest one way or the other. But I'm a hater, so I'm rooting against Ohio State anyway. And hopefully he's healthy enough to survive what might be a devastating loss. Okay, we got a couple more segments here before we go. I hope you guys enjoy your Saturdays and your Sundays in a way that if you lose, you let it sit with you for about 30 minutes or an hour. Like the Titans game probably sat with you longer than normal because the Titans are terrible. You expected to win. I hope you guys were able to recover by Tuesday and not have it ruin you like another loss to Michigan might ruin Ryan Day. Okay, when we come back, I'll give you a not-so-favorable ranking of C.J. Stroud, where he ranks as far as the top quarterbacks in the league. And it is the epitome of same old Texans. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Now, rankings for quarterbacks don't really matter. We watch the games, and that determines who's good and who isn't. But I think it just speaks to where we are with the conversations regarding the football team in this town. Would we ever have imagined that C.J. Stroud would be ranked the 17th best quarterback in football at any point this year? When we're talking about an individual who put himself in the top five this offseason, I don't think anyone had him outside of the top 10. Now he's behind the likes of Bo Nix. Bo Nix has played well this year, surprisingly well, considering his rookie status and what people thought of him. Even removing the Auburn stuff from the equation, he was a guy who threw a lot of short passes, wasn't a full field read type of guy at Oregon. I mean, he wasn't really progression-based, but he was very productive with his feet and his arm and efficient. And Sean Payton has done a good job of showcasing his strengths and limiting some of the issues you might see from a rookie quarterback, and now the Broncos are the seventh seed in the playoffs. Ahead of C.J. Stroud in these rankings. Kirk Cousins ahead of him. Sam Darnold ahead of him. And there's some names you might be less offended by, like Jalen Hurts. Baker Mayfield is one you probably wouldn't like, but he's pretty high. He's up at 6, so nowhere close to where C.J. Stroud is. Of course, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Goff, Burrow, all the names you might recognize as far as quarterbacks of good teams. I know the one that Sean and I had a question over was Jordan Love before they played each other this year, and really even in the offseason we talked about how good were those two. Jordan Love's a couple years older, but as far as young quarterbacks who haven't accomplished a lot, C.J. because he's a rookie, Jordan Love because he had to sit behind Rodgers for a time. Those were two we were starting to look at, guys 25 and younger who were next in line. And Jordan Love's year's been up and down. He puts balls in harm's way quite a bit. He's thrown 11 picks. He should have thrown two against the 49ers this past Sunday. Tom Brady got on him and got on the 49ers more so for not coming down with these plays. Jordan Love likes to do that. He's going to do that. He's going to put the ball in harm's way. He trusts himself, and he trusts his receivers, and sometimes it winds up in poor decisions. We saw that against the Texans. He was willing to throw picks in a game the Texans could have won. Their quarterback didn't play well. I think even though C.J. didn't turn the ball over with picks, he threw for under 90 yards in that game, one of his worst games of the year. But they're at 16 and 17. It's a surprise that they're there, at least if we go by preseason hype, but watching those two guys play, that's where they should be. And Jordan Love is a guy people like. He is someone that people believe can turn it on like he did in the back half of last year. It's why he got a new contract, a giant one, just because how he played. That Packers team was some poor situation handling away from beating the 49ers in a playoff game. That's how good he was down the stretch, and we'll see if he can do that again starting tomorrow night. So, 17th-ranked quarterback. I saw the 33rd teams had C.J. in the 20s, and that offended some people until what happened against the Titans. Now it's less offensive. I talked about it yesterday. I don't even think it's his fault, all of it. There's certainly some part of it that's him. But the way this team has been constructed and the way they try to run their offense has played a big part too. The Shanahan offense is a lot about easy buttons, particularly for young quarterbacks. Brock Purdy
had easy buttons. The play action off the run game helped him throw the ball in the middle of the field with backers vacating space because they were threatened by Chris McCaffrey running the football. In situations, the Texans contest the middle of the field because of the threat of Joe Mixon. We didn't see that a lot against the Titans because of Tavondre Sweat and Jonathan Simmons. Jonathan Simmons was the swingman that ruined the Rockets' playoff series when James Harden disappeared in Game 6. It's a different Simmons. But Jeffrey Simmons had a very similar impact on Sunday. The run game wasn't there. The pass game suffered for it. I just asked, where's the quick game stuff? Like, we know the screen play against Dallas worked until Laremy Tunsil decided he wasn't going to be ready for the first play they ran after a week of preparation. But it doesn't feel like there are a lot of easy buttons right now where you can throw the ball, CJ can throw the ball to someone in space, and you know what? That's just a play where you got to get it out there and let a guy make a play. Or some quick game stuff where you're not even worried about the offensive line. You just ask your quarterback to make a good decision quickly, and maybe you pick up 5 or 6 yards. That speaks to where's Dalton Schultz. I remember back early in the year, it might have been even game one, where the Colts were giving free access yards to Dalton Schultz. He would just come off the line, and he was open for 7 yards because the Colts weren't guarding him. A lot of that has disappeared, whether it be because teams have taken it away or they're not trying to get to that anymore. CJ is making a lot of throws, whether it be under duress because of his offensive line or tight window stuff. He's talented enough for some of that to work out. And in some instances, we get what we saw on Sunday, where there's some miscommunication or he just misses a throw. Those were the two picks. He missed the layered throw, I think, to Nico that resulted in the second pick, and of course the Mechie situation where they're on different pages. So if we can find a way to get him some easy, quick stuff, I think they're talented enough at the receiver position for those to be yards after the catch things where you're not asking him to do too much. You're not asking your offensive line to do too much. They go against a front that can't challenge them. I don't want him holding the ball early in that game, particularly if you can't threaten with the run and you're dependent on him to drop back and throw. Find a way to make it easy on him early. He didn't look like he had a lot of confidence coming off the field or even during the middle of that game on Sunday. Try to find some of that. Get him going early. They're going to need it because we know they don't do well in the second half. So you might want to jump out to a lead where you can start nursing things in the second half and hopefully your run game gets going. So 17th ranked quarterback in the game behind Baker Mayfield. Far cry from what we thought. Far cry from what he thought. I'm not blaming the offseason, the podcasting for it. I think there are bigger football reasons for why things aren't going the way they should. And you hope that changes on Sunday against a bad Jags team. That's a team who I think is open to quitting if you get on them early. Or maybe the second half stuff doesn't matter as much because the Jags are out of it. They think they're going to get their starting quarterback back. There's not a lot to play for the Jags outside of professional pride. The coach seems like he's on his way out. The team isn't good. This is a team you should be able to jump on. And I talked about it earlier. Don't throw away your road streak on this team. The Texans have won 9 straight road division games. It should get to 10. There's no reason it doesn't get the 10 unless the team itself kind of falls apart. We will see on Monday. It'll be an interesting Monday. I talked about Ryan Day approaching things with relief if he beats Michigan. I think I'll be more relieved than anything if they beat the Jags on Sunday. I don't think it'll be a meaningful step because the opponent matters. The strength of the opponent matters. We saw on Sunday that the Titans were willing to give that game to the Texans, and the Texans were willing to give it right back. So the Jags, I think, are in that same ballpark where they'll do things to give you the games. But relief in being 8-5, I think, is where I will be on Monday going into a bye, as opposed to the awful alternative where they're 7-6, and the season feels like it's on the brink, despite what the Colts might be doing in their game as AFC South is pretty weak. And it was brought up on CBS Sports. They were talking about what you're supposed to be thankful for because of Thanksgiving. And for the Texans, it was the rest of the AFC South. Not anything that they're doing. The fact that the AFC South is so bad. All right. We got one more segment to go here. Sam and I will close it out. Then Gallant and George will follow us. But before I do that, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. You can go to Monument Chevrolet right now, and particularly monumentchevrolet.com, and check out what they have to offer. It is a Black Friday week, which means they have deals on top of their monthly deals that you can take a look at. That monthly offer right now is a 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Rally Sport Truck with a 5.3-liter engine. And at Monument Chevrolet, you get 1.9% financing on that. Or maybe you want an electric vehicle. If you're interested in that, they have 0% financing for 60 months for well-qualified buyers. You can talk to Ash. He is their salesperson of the week. And if you go out there, he may have a championship belt on. That means he's getting deals done. And that's part of what they want to do. They want to sell your car, and they want to do it as quickly as possible. They don't want you waiting out there. They understand you might want a new car, but you don't want to spend all day at the dealership. So they will work with you to get a deal done. No hidden fees, no upcharges. The price will be the price. And if you see a price someplace else, on maybe it's a new Colorado or Silverado, they'll work with you with your budget to make it something you can get from them. Family owned, been in business for 50 years. They keep customers coming back because of how great the process is. Remember, the price is a price. And if you are looking for something for your business, you want to add to your fleet, they have the sixth largest fleet in the country. They got cars for your business. They got cars for personal. And if maybe you're not looking for something new, but you want something pre-owned, they've got a great selection there. Go to monumentchevrolet.com to check everything they have to offer, and then go out there. 3940 passing the freeway off of Bellway 8 and 225. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sam, this will be an experience for you. I don't think you've been here when Eric Wong is called in. We'll see how you react. People on Twitch will too. I think it'll be more of a non-verbal thing with Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Del. Great show once again. I have a question about C.J. Stroud. There hasn't been any good quarterbacks coming out of Ohio State. Do you think he would become one of those non-great Ohio State quarterbacks in the league? Also, who do you prefer, Kim Castro or Milo Moreno? I'll hang up and listen.
He normally asks about Abigail Dye. But once again, Eric, I don't know these news women, and I'm not going to objectify them like you want me to. Mostly because barely even know what they look like. I have no idea. I don't have a preference. I'm glad they're great at what they do. That's most important. The jobs that they do.
What was his question?
Kim Castro or Myra Moreno, who do I prefer? If you roll four pictures in front of me and ask me to identify them, I wouldn't be able to. I don't watch a lot of local news, particularly not for that, what he's asking me about. That's your first experience. That one was actually kind of light. It's normally about workout videos that I'm not sure are real for newswomen, what their Instagram and what they're posting. I don't follow a lot of people on Instagram either. But thanks, Eric, for the call. As far as the Stroud Ohio State thing, that was one of the non-logic-based, information-based things about him coming out. Ohio State quarterbacks have not fared well in the NFL. And partly that has a lot to do with, at least during the Urban Meyer, Jim Tressel era, they didn't really recruit or play guys who were NFL type quarterbacks. Like, think about it. Troy Smith was a small spread quarterback. He wasn't ever going to be a prospect. He got drafted, but there was never no one thought Troy Smith was going to be great. So him washing out as a low round pick shouldn't have surprised anyone. Obviously, Cardale Jones had the giant arm, but he was more of a flash in the pan. He wasn't starting. He was a third string quarterback. They went on to win a national title with him. And even when he came back, he wasn't great. I know they had to move Braxton Miller to receiver, the great Braxton Miller, who played for the Texans for a little bit. So while I get some of the projections, and it goes back beyond them, and go back to Bobby Hoying as far as Ohio State quarterbacks not panning out, I don't know how many were actually top prospects that you would even throw that label on Ohio State unless you're just a hater. And I am a Ohio State hater, but I'm not going to blame them for guys who weren't really legit prospects. So Dwayne Haskins was the one in the first round that you can point to, died tragically. But as far as first-round quarterbacks for Ohio State, how many are there that you would have thought, yeah, that guy's going to be great? We knew during the draft process that none of these guys were expected to be good. CJ is another first-rounder, and obviously he played great in year one. I talked about in the last segment how things have kind of turned beyond what we see on the field, perception-wise, too. I will say the film geeks still love CJ. They love what they saw last year, and they blame a lot of what's happening on Slowick and the offensive line. They think what they saw last year is still there. So if you want to take heart with that, that the people who say they know a lot about film still believe he's one of the top guys and that he's more a victim of circumstance than anything else. Terrell Pryor's another one who was a good college quarterback and got some time splitting between receiver and quarterback in the NFL. But it's a lot of guys who were talented guys in college and had great rosters around them that won a lot of football games, but weren't really real prospects. CJ, Dwayne Haskins, in some ways, are the ones you can point to and go, hey, yeah, Ohio State doesn't produce great NFL quarterbacks. It happens. Florida doesn't produce great NFL wide receivers. Going all the way back to Spurrier and the fun and gun. Not a lot of guys come out of Florida and show that production in the NFL. We had Jabbar Gaffney here for a while. The Patriots have missed out on multiple Florida receivers. Well, they drafted them and missed on them. They've done it. I think we've all learned our lesson. Well, Ricky Pearsall is a transfer from Arizona State and now is someone the 49ers have to depend on. So we'll see how he plays there. I mean, he's just a marvel because he survived getting shot in the chest and is back playing football. So whatever Ricky Pearsall does going forward, you'll credit him with that at least. Survived getting shot and is back playing NFL football within a year. That's a great story. And all of a sudden, he's needed more because of the injuries in San Francisco. All right, Sam, we're almost done. You're almost done. There was a bobble there because of some system issues. You mentioned you had nightmares with about 5 to 6 minutes to go before, and even less than that, before you're done with this show. How do you feel?
Thank God. Your show is so boring.
Exactly. So you didn't have a lot to do on this show. All we do is talk sports. And I didn't want to involve you in John's nonsense like John would. So you just sit there, run the board, make sure everything's okay, and you're good.
Mm-hmm.
You're good.
Yeah. Yeah. My nightmare did not come true except for whenever I missed the break.
That did happen, and then the system crashed on you, which isn't your fault.
Yeah.
Do you remember what we have to play to end this show? Do you know what it is? We have a couple. You can play. It's up to you.
Oh.
We have Dominate in the Paint, and then we have We Did It. So when we end this thing, it's your choice, and that's how we'll close it out.
Okay.
Which is me just stretching for time because I'm tired of talking. I really am. I just want to go home, prepare my yams and mac and cheese, and go take
and
a nap.
Green bean casserole.
Nah.
I have a concert tonight.
Where are you going?
Usher.
Have you learned any more songs?
No.
Still? You know that guy's going to be on stage for a couple hours, and you only know like one song?
I know like two.
Two?
Yeah.
You had time. Learn the set list and start figuring out what you're going to sing to.
I'm just happy to be here.
You're there. It'll be fun. Even though you're just sitting there hanging out.
Even though people have told me that he was involved with Diddy, I'm just going to ignore that until after the concert.
Him and how many others? At some point, you're going to have to make decisions about who you want to go see in concert and who you don't. The whole music industry was involved with Diddy at some point. Just how it is.
And Paul Gallant.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Paul Gallant wasn't involved with Diddy. That's her slander, Paul, not mine. I'm done. Gallant and George are up next. They're waiting in the hall, waiting to get in here. And following them are the Killer Bees. We won't be doing any shows on Thursday, but Joe George will be up in College Station on Friday. So if you're driving around or at home, 3 to 7, Joe George in College Station. We're doing an Aggie Longhorn preview brought to you by Rebecca Creek Distillery. They've been sponsoring all our Aggie Longhorn stuff all week long. They'll do it again on Friday. He'll talk to some Tex Aggs personalities. You hear the interviews we did this week. Aggies Longhorns, November 30th. Joe George bringing you a long, and I mean long, preview show. Shout out to Joe George for going up there. All right.
Yes.
I'm done. Sam, what's your choice? How do we close out this show?
In honor of Sean.
We did it!
Can you hear it?
We did hear it.
Oh.
That's right. We did it. I'll talk to you on Monday.
ESPN.